When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Newcastle Natter. My name is Fergus Craig and I'm joined by Paul Doolan.
Hello.
And Dave Watson.
I'll read.
Oh, is that slang?
Yeah.
Is that dialect?
I just thought I'd lean into my Geordie roots a bit more.
Oh, fantastic. I love that. I love that we're a Newcastle podcast and we have an authentic Geordie up.
Quite early for a tangent, but have you seen that clip from an episode of, I think it's the American crime drama Castle, where they have a Geordie on there? One of the cops like, "It's okay, I speak Newcastle." He's saying "Divin's you know," that's Geordie for "Don't you know?" Brilliantly bad.
I've got to see that.
It is the worst Geordie accent you've ever heard. It's even worse than yours.
But they also treat it like it's a language and not a dialect. So I can translate Geordie. It's okay.
So it's been a while since the last podcast. Someone asked us on Twitter why it's been so long. Basically, I went on holiday. So we've had three games since the last podcast.
Imagine if News 24 did that. For a week. The host, Hugh Edwards, has gone on holiday. There's no 6 o'clock news. And we're more important than the 6 o'clock news.
They all get to go on holiday, but they get people to stand in, This is not a professional operation, in case you were wondering. So we've had three games since the last podcast. Man United 0-0. Mm-hmm. Everton, we won 1-0. And Tottenham, we won 2-1. I'm reading this all off the internet because I have very little memory of any of them because I was at an all-inclusive resort where you were offered booze at 20-minute intervals for the whole time. So, I think I watched most of the Everton game, but I've got no memory of it. Seen highlights of all of them, but I'm going to be completely reliant on both of you because I have no memory of anything. So I think we should start by talking about the Spurs game because that was the most recent game and the most consequential. So, Paul, what were your thoughts on that?
I think the main thing for me is taking all three games together, the Man U game, we looked so knackered by the end of it. I thought we're going to really struggle to have three games in a week here. And the Spurs game, which looked so full of energy. The opening 20 minutes, Spurs looked quite decent. I thought they were finding gaps and they were looking like decent Spurs. And before, we would have just let that happen and that would have been the game over. But we just seem like a team that's able to make tactical tweaks in real time to win games. I don't trust it. I don't know what to do.
I think the certainly with the talking about like tiredness, I think because we're getting quite a bit of criticism at the minute from opposition fans and even managers about the amount of time that we're wasting towards the end of the game. I genuinely think that's not just to waste time and try and kill off the game, but I think it's to kind of reserve a bit of energy towards the end of the game just to like stop that high intensity that we play with for the majority of it. We just kind of that's like Nick Pope in the Spurs game could have been red carded for the amount of time he was wasted. Certainly
he wasted 94 minutes. They talked it out.
But I don't mind it because we don't yet have the quality, like the strength and depth to to maintain that level of intensity for three games in a week. We just don't. We can't do it.
I think the Spurs game was odd as well because it's the first time I can remember where we've time wasted and you felt like we didn't need to. Like the Man U game, we were coming under the cosh at the end. Man U probably should have nicked it at the end. They had two really good chances. But Spurs just looked completely out of ideas.
Mm. I think recently
the year anniversary of the takeover came up. And I guess we're approaching the year anniversary of Eddie Howe coming in. And aside from the changes to the squad, the big, huge changes since he came in would be obviously intensity and fitness, right? That's been a huge thing. And also, it seems like he feels to me like a very ambitious manager, right? He wants to be a winner, you know?
Mm.
So there's like, that's been instilled in the squad that like the time wasting that goes with proper winning squads, right?
Yeah, that's what happens when you get players like Trippier from Atletico Madrid. You get players that know how to see out games and aren't afraid to annoy opposition fans. I don't want us conceding goals in the final minute and getting applauded off by the opposition fans. I'd rather they thought we were big shithouses.
Yeah, I mean, we saw it in the game against Liverpool where we'd been, you know, time-wasting for a lot of the final, like, 20 minutes. And then Joe Linton's got an opportunity to run it into the corner flag, but he doesn't. He crosses it, and from that, they go up the other end, win the corner, and get the goal that ultimately wins it. Whereas if he just bought a foul or put it out for a throw-in up their end or whatever, just time-wasted up that end, we probably would have seen the game out. So I'm okay with it.
Yeah. I don't think our time wasting was as controversial as other things in the game.
Well, I mean, Man U have been fined twice in the space of, I think, a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks, for the behaviour of their players in surrounding the ref and challenging the decisions and stuff like that. And that, to me, is that's less to me about tactically winding down the game and more about entitled arseholes being entitled arseholes.
Can we talk about the fact that, I mean, what true to type, I think this is two podcasts in a row that after very early on, after very satisfying victories, I mean, this one perhaps being the best result of the season, possibly the calendar year, very early on, we've managed to go into a quite a turgid conversation about the boring possible thing.
Yeah, that's true. We beat Spurs away and we looked fucking good doing it.
We've just beat Spurs away 2-1. We've just immediately gone into a 10-minute conversation about time wasting.
It's kind of opposite.
It's just phenomenal.
We're not the ones driving this.
Say that again.
We're not the ones driving this.
No, absolutely. That's me suddenly like asleep at the wheel. Hang on a minute. Can we talk about the fact that Miggy Almiron has now scored 5 goals in the last 5 games?
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Partly, I think it's because he's getting a good run of games and he's playing in a system that gets the most out of him because he, you know, I mean, his endeavour was never in doubt, but playing with a lot more confidence, seeing a lot more of the ball, you know, linking up with Trippier and Bruno instead of, with the best will in the world, Javier Menquillo and Matty Longstaff or whatever. Like, he's just, it's great to see. I love his little face. I love it. I don't know if it can continue. I think I said it on a few pods ago that this is his peak. And I think he's just riding the crest of this wave for longer than I expected. But I'm expecting like a regression soon enough. But until then, let's fucking enjoy it, because he's banging in not just a lot of goals. He's banging in really, really good goals. Like, really fucking good goals.
Well, it obviously can't continue at this rate, you would have thought, because if it does, then he's suddenly one of the best players of the last decade. But, you know, maybe now he's gone from a 3 or 4 goals a season player to a 12 or 15 goals a season player, which would be amazing.
Mm. Yeah, this doesn't feel like when Joe Willock scored in 7 games in a row. I don't think he's going to drop that significantly. I think he's just got... I think having Trippier behind him and Bruno combining with him, and even Sean Longstaff, is just... Mm. Everything's clicked with the personnel around him. The system we're playing suits him. He's not a one-man press anymore like he was before. It's not aimless. So he's actually... We're actually using players in the right positions and telling them the right things to do. And when you do that consistently enough and coach them well, they start to improve. But yeah, he's not scoring many tap-ins. Like 2 this week were just...
Yeah.
The second finishing one, Mo Salah-esque.
Finishing feels like the most form-dependent part of football, would you say? That, like, if you're not in form in terms of finishing, then...
As a fan of CM De Jong and John Dahl Thomason, I think we've seen that kind of borne out for our club.
Oh, it's absolutely to do with confidence, and I think he right now is in a rich vein of form because he is full of confidence, and I think the only thing that's going to knock the confidence is if he, you know, has a fucking shitter of a game just because nothing goes right for him, because sometimes he can have those games, or if he gets an injury. That aside, if he keeps, even if he doesn't score, fine. I think his levels of confidence are going to be up and up and up, and we're going to benefit it. I mean, there's talk of him getting a new contract in the pipeline. I think he's done enough to deserve it, and I certainly think he's done enough to perhaps make the ownership and the management think twice about replacing him with a wide forward.
Yeah, okay, well, I think replacing him was probably our transfer priority going into winter, and I don't think it is now. I think we'll probably be getting a central midfielder instead if we sign anyone.
I'm full of confidence right now, because I am confident that if we go for a little break now, the listeners will come back for the second half.
Not sure I share that confidence. Yeah. We need to get into another conversation.
Here's what I think. If they don't come back, fuck them. I don't care.
Wow.
If you don't come back for the second half, then do you know what I mean? Like, that's your loss.
Someone has not come back from holiday with an all-inclusive attitude.
No, do you know what I mean? I can take it or leave it. So anyway, we're going to go on a break now. And, you know, you have a good think about whether you want to stick around for the second half, because we're going to do it whether you come or not. Welcome back to the Newcastle Natter. Good break, guys.
Lovely.
Fucking 1-1.
Yes.
So I see you've come crawling back for the second half. So, like I say, I have very little memory of anything that happened in any of these games. So I'm relying on you two to steer it towards goals, maybe talk about actual goals, talk about actual key incidents.
Okay. Well, the opening goal against Spurs was contentious because Lloris charged out onto a ball between defence and keeper and was and collided with Callum Wilson. And those who didn't want the goal to be given were saying that, well, it's a foul on the keeper. and those who did want the goal to be given were saying, well, no, it was just a coming together of two players. And if it was any other position other than keeper involved, nobody would care. It would just be, well, they bounced off each other. The defending player's gone down, like thrown himself down. Striker's well within his rights to compete for that ball physically and then to put the ball into the empty net. And I'm on that side, if you couldn't guess.
Yeah, I think even being partisan, it was just Hugo Lloris going mad, which he does sort of once every few months. He's an amazing keeper, but every now and then he's an awful keeper. And he's probably at fault for both of our goals.
I'd say so,
and I, for one, celebrate that. I think more keepers should start doing that. Although we made him kind of at fault for our goals as well. Like, we were playing on his weaknesses. Our pressing game seemed designed to get him into those areas of uncertainty. There was a good thing, I think it was on The Athletic, looking at the way we set up against Spurs, where it was very much draw them onto the front foot and then our defenders to just play long through balls. And you could see early on that was a really good one, because Scher's ball for the Wilson goal was actually quite a bad pass. But the warning had been there earlier. He played a perfect through ball to Joe Linton, who was playing as a left forward for this instead of a midfielder, and probably should have ended up scoring from there. It's so weird at the minute. Our back four are probably combined better passes of the ball than our midfield. So why not do that? With the exception of Bruno, but the rest of our midfield, they're not amazing passes of the ball. Maybe Shelby you would put in that bracket. But you look at Botman and Scher and Trippier, they're just amazing passes of the ball, unflustered. And
well, I mean, our back four are also the stats, well, in terms of conceding goals, the best back four in the Premier League at the moment.
And it's not just the goals allowed column that's shedding, you know, is showing us in a good light. If you look at the amount of chances that we're allowing, it's actually pretty low. I don't think we're top, but I think we're certainly one of the teams that's, you know, restricting the opposition to a low number of chances. What is interesting is the amount of pressures we're putting on the opposition high up the pitch, and we are first for that. There is no team in the league that's pressuring the ball high up the pitch more than we are, and that just shows that the defending is throughout the team. It's not just the responsibility of the back four to do that, and that's why Almiron's looking so good. That's why Joe Linton's doing so well. It's a mark of Eddie Howe. I think Eddie Howe's achievements are kind of being overlooked outside of Newcastle fans, because the instant assumption is, oh well, it's just because he's bought, you know, £200 million worth of players. But it's not just that. Like, you have to drill down into the performances of the players that were there before the takeover, before Howe, and look how much they've improved and look how much the team's improved.
Yeah, it's quite, if you're Kieran Clark, it's got to be really annoying seeing all our bad players turned into amazing footballers as well. It's saying there was nothing there to work with at the start.
So let's sort of assess where we are and what we think might come of it. Andy Sheldon says, current form and league position is outstanding, but being realistic, where do you see us finishing the season, and have we got a chance of a cup?
Paul?
Well, I said seventh at the start of the season. I think we'll finish higher than that now. Top four is going to be very tricky, because I think you look at Chelsea now, Potter's there. I feel like they'll definitely be top four. You've got Arsenal and Man City will definitely be top. I mean, you can never say definitely with Arsenal, because they find new ways to make you think they're good and then fuck up every year. But then Man U look very good with Ten Hag. I feel like fifth or sixth is not completely unrealistic.
Yeah.
Liverpool are knackered. I can't see them getting top four this year.
I don't see us getting top four, but I could see us finishing sixth.
Yeah.
I think form for the calendar year, we're fifth, and league table at the minute, we're fourth. So it's not like it's a mad suggestion that we could finish top four.
But the two teams behind us have got a game in hand on us.
Yeah. Well, we've got less players going to the World Cup. I mean, that's the big variable this season, or the big unknown. The World Cup, nobody knows how teams are going to react to that. I think the other thing with us, if we're in with a sniff of top four, or if we're in the top four in the January window, then I wouldn't be surprised to see our board invest quite heavily to try and cement that, because that would be a chance that they hadn't banked on.
Yeah.
I was looking at the schedule for the World Cup. It's mental, as in it goes Premier League fixture weekend, then they're all off for the World Cup. A whole World Cup final, then they come back and it's straight into the next weekend as Premier League fixture. There's no like 2 week buffer either side or anything. It is.
I get it. I guess what clubs are hoping for is either that their team's national team, their players' national team, get knocked out early, or that only one or two get through to the World Cup final. Because I mean, who's going to be favourite to the World Cup finals? Probably Brazil,
England. It's got to be.
But either way, I think we'll benefit from that, because we'll be in a strong position to make signings over January, and not a lot of our players are going to the World Cup when you compare it to the other teams at the top end of the table.
Yeah.
So should we do that now? Who will go? Trippier will probably go.
Bruno.
Yeah, Trippier might not play. Bruno will probably play.
Outside chance, Joe Linton. You never know. Love to see it.
Has he ever played?
Not for Brazil, but...
No.
Has he ever played football?
Is Switzerland through? Is Cher going?
I can't remember, man. It's
Garang Kuol is going. But I don't think that'll affect us too much.
World Cup.
Wilson could potentially go.
Yeah.
Saw an interview with him today. He's really pushing for it.
Although it doesn't really affect keepers in the same way.
I don't know if Wilson will go. I think it'll be Kane, Tony, Abraham.
Abraham's gone off the boil a bit, though, hasn't he? I think if Wilson stays fit between now and then and scoring one every two games, I think he'll go.
It's just such a massive if.
Paraguay, are they through?
No.
Oh, good.
If Wilson does stay fit, then that's a pretty much guarantee that he'll get injured during the World Cup.
Yeah. Well, the other thing as well, like after the World Cup, we'll have Isak coming back. I keep forgetting we've got him. It's our record signing, and he's one of the most highly rated young strikers in world football. We've got to fourth at the minute, and we've never had our strongest 11 on the pitch at the same time.
Phil Huntsman on Twitter says, who will our top goal scorer be this season? It has to be Wilson, right?
Well, Miggy's top at the minute, isn't he?
He's got 6 goals this season so far in the Premier League. I don't know if Wilson will be, because I think partly due to him missing a few games, partly because Isaac's going to obviously be challenging for the starting position. I reckon it could be Almiron, you know. I could see the end of the season coming along with him getting another 3 or 4 goals, and that being enough to be top goal scorer.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll just have to see. Do you want to put £1,000 on it?
who's £1,000? Yours? Yeah, I'll put your £1,000 down. Fun 8888.
Right. Chris Wood, are New Zealand in the World Cup sometimes?
No. So I'm just looking at the Wikipedia now. Switzerland are in the World Cup.
Botman might be going. He's in their long list at the minute, isn't he?
Yeah. France are going, but I can't imagine St. Maximin getting a call up. No. England are obviously there, so that's Trippier, Pope, outside chance of Dan Burn, but that's a really big outside chance. We haven't got anybody from Belgium, Croatia, Denmark, Germany, Poland, Portugal.
I mean, the thing with us as well, we don't need a World Cup to injure our players. We're perfectly good at doing that by ourselves.
True. So all hail Teague. Oh, speaking of the World Cup, all hail Teague says, I asked this question during the Euros, but lots of things have changed. I don't remember. Where would our squad finish in upcoming World Cup?
Quarterfinals, I reckon.
I guess, would we be playing, the question is, would we be playing countries? Yes.
Yeah.
Who have not trained together and we have trained together.
Yeah.
So you put it like that, I think we could get to the semis. Just because we're a team that plays together.
Yeah. It's that sort of big unknown, isn't it? Like, that sort of team cohesion could be such a big factor that a team like Palace could win the World Cup under those circumstances. Yeah, you don't really know.
But yeah, I think, yeah, quarters, semis. I mean, it seems ridiculous to say, really, looking at the list of our squad here, because we've just established that the vast majority of our players are not good enough to play in the World Cup.
All their nations haven't qualified.
Yeah, because I think St. Maximin definitely is, but he's not going to get picked because.
So,
yeah.
But our starting 11 includes Sean Longstaff and Joe Willock, who are nowhere near England.
No.
I don't know. I think we'd get out of the group, whatever.
Although Sean Longstaff can switch nationality to Burundi because he is dual national.
Oh, yeah, because didn't he... Is that because he married... what the fuck was his name? Who didn't we have a player who played for Burundi? Bigirimana.
Oh, yeah.
Bigirimana.
Oh.
Right, I'm going to look him up. Bigirimana.
Did he go to Coventry after us and not really progress, or did we sign him from Coventry, or both?
I think we signed him from Coventry.
He was the next Tiote and then very quickly wasn't.
Yeah.
There were a few of those.
It feels like we've probably got a youth set up now where that will hopefully happen less.
Well, have you seen that Santiago Munoz that we signed? He's been let go. We signed him on loan and then we've no interest in signing him long term. We also picked up a young Scottish player called Reagan Thompson, and he's been let go. We've recently signed Amadou Diallo, who was on the West Ham books.
One of my Football Manager amazing wingers, so for that reason I'm quite excited.
Wow.
About 2-3 years ago.
Bigirimana he's currently 29 and he's playing in Tanzania for a Tanzanian football club.
One of the hardest leagues in the world.
Best league in the world. Before that, he was playing in the Northern Irish league. So it's fair to say he didn't live up to the promise that some of us thought that he had. The other one I always look up, see how he's doing, is Mehdi Abid.
He's carving out a decent career in the French.
Hasn't he had European football at some point since leaving us? He's one of the few. It feels like we are the highlight of almost all of our players' careers in a way I don't think happens with other clubs.
I'd say it happens with clubs like Real Madrid.
Yeah. but not clubs comparable to us, especially in the Mike Ashley era.
Yeah.
Considering we were a stepping stone, it's unusual for players to step on from us. Players like Daryl Yanmat, who looked, or Debussy.
Well, he went Debussy, what we're saying is we've ruined a lot of players.
Yes.
Or sold them at their high point and they've not actually been that good.
But what's great now is we are a club that is, you know, rejuvenating players. You look at Joe Linton, you look at Almiron, like Fabian Scher, to a lesser degree, Emil Kraft. Like, these are all players who were, you know, we were talking about we're never going to get any money for half of them. And now, like, Joe Linton's one of the best, like, statistically one of the best midfielders in the country. Almiron's scoring worldies every week. He's having a goal of the month competition by himself.
Are we like rehab for footballers now?
Yeah.
Well, let's, now that we have got onto the subject of players past, I didn't anticipate me being on Bigger Amana's Wikipedia page this evening. I was hoping to have an evening off that. Lloyd Kent says on Twitter, excluding Shearer and Sisko, if you could bring any player from the past 20 years into the present team, who would it be?
Ooh.
Bigger than mine. Into the current... So let's take the question as, bring a player from the last 20 years and that could improve our current team the most.
I would go with either peak Cech Tiote or maybe Jeannie Wijnaldum.
They're both really good shouts. My instinct was Tiote.
Yeah, I immediately was drawn to Tiote. I also thought Jose Enrique. Because I think our left back situation, like Dan Burn's doing a great job, but he's not a left back.
That target is decent, though. He's just not getting decent. In.
I just think...
He's weird, the Matt Target situation. If I was Matt Target, I'd think I'd be a bit pissed off. I mean, I like, you know, it's football. It's the way it is. But he was like, he went on us to us on loan because of Luka Dean going to Villa, right? He thought, well, I want to play every game and I'm not going to anymore. So he went on loan to us, played every game, did really well. Then we signed him permanently. And then we put a centre back at left back.
So there is a tactical thing for that because Trippier is playing so far forward, Dan Burn doesn't go forward. He joins Scher and Botman as a back three Trippier moves on forwards. Whereas if Target were playing, he's not really a centre half, so you wouldn't play him in that position. I think if St Maximum returns and immediately slots straight back into the first team, you might see the return of Matt Target because he would provide like a better balance.
Because it'd be more of a traditional left back.
Yeah, because
when you've got Joe Linton on the left, he can sort of cover a bit while.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, interesting.
You're welcome.
Okay, so check. Tiote seems like a good call. Jose Enrique, I was not expecting as an answer to that question.
I mean, you could also go Demba Ba. Demba Ba's like just a phenomenal striker.
Sure. Laurent Robert.
20 years. When did Laurent Robert leave us?
He certainly played for us.
2004, 2005?
It's just sneaking in.
Laurent Robert in London pubs.
I guess if it wasn't for his recent upturn in form, there'd be a good argument for Solano as well instead of Almiron.
Mm. Oh, I'd love to see Pete Solano in this team. Mm. Yeah, Laurent Robert left in beginning of 2005.
Danny Simpson?
No. Yeah. Fuck you.
Premier League
winner. Head of Trippier.
Premier League winner. I was joking. It's just Just being a dick. Okay. Oh, Tyne Thames says, Halloween special, who was, is our scariest player of the Premiership era?
Looks-wise, Clarence Acuna.
Duncan Ferguson.
Oh, God, yeah.
John
just, just ask anyone who's tried to rob his house. They will agree. Dave, you've put a Halloween filter on Zoom.
How I know, I just thought you'd enjoy that.
Thank you. John Joe Shelby's got, you know,
yeah,
something of the night about him.
Almiron and Shelby, you could imagine robbing graves together.
Oh, yeah. So John Joe Shelby's got that sort of like, just could give off just pure sort of slow-paced evil. Do you know what I mean? Just
yeah.
Like, tonight we rob graves.
And then, yes, master.
Yeah, Almiron's got the ring.
Come, Miguel. Coming, master. Shall I bring the spade?
I was going to say more sort of like Joe Pesci, but you're right. Come, Miguel. And Almiron's just like running around doing far more grave robbing than necessary.
Until Eddie Howe comes in and gets him to become a more focused grave robber.
Okay. All right. Well, our next professional football game is on Saturday, and it is against Aston Villa. Am I right?
Yeah. 3 o'clock kickoff at home.
Yes. They do not win at St James's Park. The last time they won was the infamous game where Lee Bowyer and Kieran Dyer had a fight.
No way.
Yeah. And also, that game is often remembered for those two, but people forget that was also the game that Stephen Taylor got sent off for that ridiculous handball on the leg.
One where Stephen Taylor got shot.
Yeah.
They did win on Sunday 4-0.
Mm. I still don't think that they're a particularly good team. I think we've got some decent players, but we are... If we were Steve Bruce's or Rafa Benitez's Newcastle United, I would say then, yeah, they're riding on a crest of the wave. They've got a good chance. Like, you never know, blah, blah, blah. This is the team that Eddie Howe has been coaching for the last two seasons, and it is fucking good at getting results. We've got good players, good manager, good tactics. And they
I've just realised what all the pre-match chat is going to be, certainly amongst the Newcastle media probably, is the fact that Villa are now managed by Unai Emery. The first person we offered the job of manager to in this era. So that's going to be a big talking point, isn't it?
Well, I think managerially
as well.
Yeah, but
he can't take over yet.
There are a lot of people when we got Eddie Howe were saying we've missed out on Gerrard. I definitely had reservations about Howe at the start, but now I think we probably got the best manager we realistically could have, and missing out on Emery was probably a blessing.
Yeah. I mean, Emery will get them up the table. He will make sure that they are difficult to beat, play with intensity, all that shit. That he will. He's a very good coach. I don't know if he's going to get them to climb the table very much beyond just mid-table. But he hasn't got his visa yet, so he's not going to be in charge. So it's going to be that Dank, I think his name is, that coach called Dank. And I think
that...
So it's just one. He's got one name, and it's just Dank. Yeah. Like Cher.
He sounds like a Euro DJ.
Hey guys, it's Dank.
Dank playing at a ski resort.
They're managed by a man called Dank. Oh, well, Willie.
Can't remember his format. Yeah. I
was really looking forward to this game. I was really looking forward to this before Gerrard got sacked, because I think we could have absolutely hammered them. But it's much more of an unknown now.
Hmm.
I feel a lot more confident now I know they're managed by a man called Dank.
Honestly, though, some of his house remixes.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, no one's buying into my Dank DJ name. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, okay. So, I can just picture it. You know, I'm just not managing.
I can see it.
To translate it into pure comedy. So, let's go for score predictions, Dave.
2-0. But like a comfortable 2-0.
Paul?
2-1.
How comfortable?
Mm-hmm.
How comfortable are
2-1? I think uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be like the 1-0 against them last season, where it'll be like a Trippier free kick that wins it.
Mm-hmm. I'm tempting fate here, but
15-0.
I reckon 3-0. Why not? Yeah.
God, hubris. Love it.
Yeah, we're definitely going to lose now. The three of us have all been comfortable with it. Yeah.
That's the thing. It's always possible, and that's why we love this game. Right, let's leave it there.
I feel like your warm weather podcast training
hasn't had the desired effect. Yeah,
I think it's been a good one. I've got a bit of a cough. It's not COVID. Did a test this afternoon, but it's been a good one.
Lovely.
Well,
especially considering I don't remember watching any football in the last 2 weeks. I remember falling asleep to Match of the Day highlights a few times with a few pina coladas in the system. All right, let's leave it there. Thank you very much, Dave Watson.
Thanks, Fergus.
Thank you, Paul Doolan.
Thank you.
And thank you to you, the Newcastle NASA listener. Goodbye! Sports Social Podcast Network.